Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
To our new listeners, welcome. To our old listeners, welcome back. Another episode of Magical Education awaits you, but first we would like to say a few words.
Nitwit, blubber, oddment, tweak. Podcast 9 and 3 quarters topic of the week is April Fool's Special, The Prank Rank.
Hello listeners, I'm Rhea, and today we're ranking pranks.
And I'm Jem, and it's April Fool's Day, and we're ranking the pranks, all the pranks.
It's a prank rank.
It's a prank rank. You've been ranked.
You've been pranked. I think literally, like, one of us pitched this episode, and as soon as the word prank rank was said, it's like, oh, that's the episode.
Yeah. First, before we get into the episode or anything like that, I want to say big shout out and thank you to Madeline, our new patron.
Yeah!
They've also sent us a lovely message about how they discovered our podcast and how they're getting into it, and that was really great to read, so thanks for getting in touch.
Yes, we appreciated hearing from you, even though you were sick and a little bit delirious. That was great. We love your energy.
Don't expose them.
The vibes, Jem. The vibes of that email. Impeccable. Glorious.
Right. So how are we going to do this prank rank? How are we going to rank the prank?
Let's a little bit talk about what makes a good prank. What's for you is a good prank?
Well, I actually searched up the definition of prank.
So did I, but it was boring.
Yeah. It said a practical joke or mischievous act. I'm like, thanks, that's nothing.
Yeah.
Practical joke I can accept because I think it does have to have a practical element. Mm-hmm. You can't just, like, have a tease. A tease, I would say, is purely verbal.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I think in the research for this I came across an example of a prank, big quotations there, was like Hagrid, like going on with the tease, being like, oh, Harry, I didn't know you were handing out signed autographs. Like, where's mine? I'm like, that's not a prank. That's him teasing him. Yeah.
That's just a conversation.
That's just like bullying your friends.
Yeah. I think a prank has to have a practical element and an intended victim.
Oh, yes. And I think that these are my metrics that I'm using to measure a prank. Funny.
Yeah.
Comeuppance. So if you're getting someone that kind of deserves to be pranked. Creativity. And dedication. The more effort and time and planning that's gone into the prank, the more happy I usually am.
Yeah.
The prank.
Something that required you to really think about it and plan it out and, like, execute it. Yeah, perfect. I also think alongside comeuppance is, like, good fun. The idea of, like, everyone's in on the prank together and, like, it's all in good fun. I think that can also work, like, alongside comeuppance or instead of comeuppance. Like, it's just a different flavor, I guess.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah, but comeuppance is definitely more satisfying.
Oh, 100%. I'm a sucker for spite and I'm a sucker for just desserts.
Yeah. So, like, I had, first of all, it has to be a prank. Like, I was looking up a bunch of lists of Harry Potter pranks, as I'm sure you were, and a bunch of them were just not pranks. Like, one that I kept landing on over and over again was Fred and George stealing the Marauder's map from Filch. That's not a prank. That's just a thing they did.
Not a thing.
It's nothing. In terms of, like, what's a good prank, I don't actually like pranks, I guess, which is kind of a downer. So, like, things
Let's discuss this.
Yeah. Things for me that I think makes a prank good, like, no one getting hurt, no one being afraid for their life, nothing that's, like, super public or, like, bullying someone.
No.
And, like, as you said, either the person deserves it and is getting comeuppance or it's all in good fun. I think, like, playing against a person's specific weakness and, like, weakness, but I mean, like, you know, taking somebody down a peg when they're very full of themselves, something like that. Not like, you know, exploiting your enemy's weaknesses.
Yeah.
Something that's specifically tailored to a person that you're trying to teach a lesson or have a specific effect, that's very good. And I think something without a huge amount of collateral damage, because you don't want to break everything that a person owns to teach them a prank or something.
Yeah. I think, like, making sure that everyone involved in the prank, like, is that you know, they're people that you know and that you know how to react. Because one thing I hate is, like, seeing a TikTok trend where it's, like, someone pranks, a customer service worker or something. It's like, fucking hell, they're doing their job. Like, leave them alone.
Like, yeah, like going through the drive-through and like throwing a milkshake on someone. Yeah. Like, why? That's just cruel.
Or just...
A prank is something that you do to your friends.
Yeah, don't...
Or people you know, not strangers.
Don't do it to people who are at work. Don't do it to people that you don't know. Mm-hmm. Don't do it to people that, like, there's not a reason behind it. Like, it's got to be like an in-joke.
Yeah. And I think nothing with really permanent consequences. Like, covering your friend's car in sticky notes, funny, harmless. Took you hours, takes him, like, minutes to get rid of them all. That's fine. Throwing wet paint or something on someone's car, fucked up. Don't do that.
No,
that's thousands
in
damages. Why would you do this? Yeah, there we go. We've got a good idea of what makes a prank good and funny.
So what we've done is we've combed through some of the more choice pranks that occur in the Harry Potter series, and we've both made a short list of five pranks that we hate, and we're going to decide which are the worst in those. And then 10 pranks that we adore and decide what's the best prank. So we'll definitively have an answer of what is the best prank in the series and what is the worst prank in the series by the end of this. Yeah.
That sounds good. Would you like to start with one of your worst pranks?
Yes. This is a bit of a controversial one, maybe, but the Niffler in the office.
Really? Okay, I had that on one of my best pranks list.
I don't like this, and here's why. So for anyone who's not familiar with the context, in the fifth book, while Umbridge is having her reign of terror on Hogwarts, something that Lee Jordan does is he levitates a Niffler into Umbridge's office through the open window, and it starts to, like, rampage the office looking for shiny stuff because she has a bunch of shiny things in the office.
Yeah.
What results from this is that Umbridge fires Hagrid for it, thinking that he might have done it.
Oh, no.
That's not really... For me, like, obviously that's a bad consequence. It's not something that was intended for the prank. And I think Umbridge would have found an excuse to fire Hagrid anyway without that happening.
Yeah.
That's not my main reason why I don't like this prank. My main reason why I don't like it is because Umbridge is kind of a fucked up person. And people know this. Like, Lee Jordan knows this. He knows that people's had their hands cut open, that people have had, like unjust treatment. What's to say that Umbridge doesn't walk into her office, sees a Niffler trashing her office, and just fucking kill it? Like, that's my thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's an animal. It's a defenseless, innocent animal in all of this. And you've, like, put it in this situation where it's going to act in a way that's natural for it, and it could be seriously hurt for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't like it.
You know what? You're right.
Mm.
Because I was thinking of this in terms of, like the Niffler in Fantastic Beasts,
yeah.
where, like, they're just running around and they're snatching up shiny things, like the baby ones in the second movie.
Mm.
And it's all in good fun, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't consider the fact that, first of all, you're taking an animal that you can't really communicate with and isn't really that intelligent, levitating it hundreds of feet in the air through an open window.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucked up already.
Yeah.
And then letting it loose in a room where, like, it doesn't know anything and it's just going to tear the room apart. Partially, I guess, from fear and confusion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, definitely that's got to be a factor.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, letting it be found by someone who is definitely evil. Like, just evil and violent. And, yeah, actually, that Niffler probably died in this prank. That's fucked up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we don't know what happened to the Niffler, but my assumption is, like, I mean, if I was trying to devise a thing to ruin Umbridge's office, I wouldn't do this because it's, like, it's animal cruelty, in my opinion. You can't just, like, grab an animal do this to it and not expect that something bad might happen to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, not getting innocent animals or children involved in pranks, I think, is another thing we probably should have landed on. Oh, well.
All right, so how are we ranking this in terms of, like, are we using the metrics, like, funny, comeuppance, good fun, or anything like that, or are we just going to, like, give it a general score out of 10 for, like, how bad we think it is?
I think if we give each one a score, it's going to take too long.
Yeah, how about we just give it, like, a ranking out of 5 for how bad we think it is, and then when we come to the end of looking at our bad pranks, we can sort of see maybe which one is the worst. Based on...
So 5 is the worst, 1 is the least worst?
Yes.
Okay. I feel like this might be, like, a 2 or a 3 for me.
Yeah, I'm going to say probably a 3 or 4. 3.5, I'm going to settle on. Just because of the animal cruelty.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I love trashing Umbridge's office. That's a good idea. But the animal cruelty factor, it's really dodgy. And also, it results in someone getting fired.
Yeah. I think we should, you sort of said like he couldn't have predicted that. That's true, but I think we should factor in the
Yeah.
consequences of pranks as well, because that's something that you should think about.
Yeah. Just because you didn't intend for something to happen doesn't mean that you can't be held responsible for it when
Exactly. Especially when like
it
this isn't a direct result of Lee Jordan, but like later we will get into bad consequences that are the direct result of the prank.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think a 3.5 is pretty fair.
All right.
Here's one of my worst pranks. Fred and George Weasley shoving Montague or Montague, whatever his name is, into the
Yep.
vanishing cabinet. That's,
I had that one too.
yeah,
Yep.
that is fucked
That's
up. The
fucked.
twins had no idea how dangerous that was. He had to, like, he was trapped in there for, I think, a day or maybe several days.
He was in there for a day.
He had
Yep.
to apparate himself out. That's dangerous already, seeing as he may or may not have been in Hogwarts at the time. He had to apparate into Hogwarts. He got trapped in a toilet or something, and then he was disoriented for weeks afterwards.
Yeah.
He could have died. Like, that was such an awful thing to do to someone.
Yeah, that was really kind of fucked.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know if the twins knew it was a vanishing cabinet, but even if, like we
They
said.
said they shoved him into the vanishing cabinet. They knew it was the vanishing
Okay,
cabinet.
okay.
They didn't know like where it
Yeah.
vanished to or like anything about it. They just knew it was a vanishing cabinet. They shoved him in.
Yeah, that's fucked. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a solid 5 for me. Like, that's
Yeah.
bad.
Like, it also leads to everything that happens with Malfoy in the sixth book. Like, he's able to use the vanishing cabinet to get the Death Eaters in because of this prank.
Yeah.
That's such a direct result. I think
Yeah.
it's definitely a five.
Like, yeah,
Loud
I
noise
mean,
from
I know
me.
Montague was going to take some house points from you, but like, one, when since when did Fred and George care about house points? And
Yeah.
two, is that really enough of an incentive to like risk someone's
Yeah.
life?
For me, it's just the fact that like the magical world has a lot of unanswered questions, as is the function of this podcast, but they genuinely had no idea what would happen to him. Nobody knows what the vanishing cabinet is, where it goes, what it does. He could have just died or vanished forever.
Yeah.
What if he just disappeared and no one ever knew what happened to him? Except for Fred and George,
Yeah.
who wouldn't have told.
Yeah, that's absolutely fucked.
Yeah. Anyway, imagine Montague's parents burying an empty coffin because he tried to take points from Fred and George. Fucked up.
Absolutely fucked. Yeah, Fred and George appear on this list, both in the good and bad, quite a lot because they're the
Yeah.
pranksters of the series.
Of course. I wish I had more like Marauders pranks to draw
But
from.
we don't know everything they did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Besides the prank, you know.
The prank. Oh my god, I forgot about the prank. That's
Same.
not even on my list.
Not even on my list either. I don't give a fuck about Snape.
Whatever. We've done an episode on that. It's somewhere in the worst. Never mind. It's a five. Okay, moving on.
All right, on to one of my next one. This is more of a medium one, I guess. Dung in the intro. So
Yes, I had that as
yeah,
well.
so Percy's started his new job at the Ministry. He's taking it very seriously. He's maybe a bit pompous around the family and gloating about it all the time every day. That's annoying. But what Fred and
Yeah.
George decide to do is send him dragon dung, is it? Or some kind of dung.
Dragon dung,
Yeah,
yeah.
dragon dung in his in tray at work, and it's just constantly full of dragon dung. This is not cool. Like I know it's fun to brag on your brother because like he's a pompous ass and he's always bragging about how fun and important his job is. You don't need to like, take that energy to his workplace and embarrass him there. Like it's
Yeah.
not okay.
Yeah, it's the fact that it's his workplace.
Yeah.
Like, this is the sort of shit that they did when he was a prefect and they were all in school together, but now he's in like a proper adult workspace and this is now bullying and harassment.
Yeah.
And like, the fact that he obviously doesn't know that they're doing it either, because he tries to pass it off as if like he was getting the dragon dung for like a work-related reason and it wasn't a prank,
Yeah.
that to me says that Percy doesn't know Fred and George are doing this. Maybe he thinks it's one of his co-workers.
That's sad. Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
Like, and it's a little bit, I hate Percy. Percy fucking sucks, man.
I like Percy, whatever.
He betrays his family for the ministry. No good. But, like, if they had done this to him after he'd betrayed his family for the ministry, that changes the whole game for me. The fact that they did it beforehand, it's like, stuff like this was probably a factor. The fact that people in his family are harassing him, like, at least at work, Percy's treated like an adult and taken seriously. Anyway, I had this, but I grouped it together under the Weasley twins genuinely hurting their siblings, and I had a couple of things listed there because there were too many, and I was gonna waste all of my worst prank space.
Yeah, I've got like basically most of the pranks that I have in worst are Weasley twin ones, except for the Niffler one.
Yeah, all of them except for the No, actually, all of mine are Weasley
Yeah.
twins. I've got Vanishing Cabinet and then four other Weasley twin ones. Yeah.
Fucked.
I guess that's a volume thing. Like, if you do the most pranks, some of them have got to go wrong.
Can't win everything.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna give this one a three, or maybe a two, two and a half.
I think probably a two because there's no serious consequences. Like,
No,
he's
no.
embarrassed at work, but nobody gets hurt.
Yeah, and like it's not like he has to clean it with his own hands. He is a wizard. Just like vanish
He
it.
can vanish it, yeah.
Yeah. So it's not unsanitary to the extreme. So I'm gonna give it a two.
Yeah, it's just embarrassing. So, next on my list of worst pranks, I had turning Neville into a canary. That
Yeah, I
sucks.
don't like it.
Don't like
I don't
it.
like it.
It's always
Yeah.
hit me wrong. Like, even reading it for the first time, I don't like. I've got a big thing about like bodily autonomy.
Yeah.
I really don't like anything that violates another person's bodily autonomy. It's like a big fear and a big issue of mine that I struggle with. So yeah, the fact that they just casually like change his body into something else, does he retain his human mind when he's in bird form? Who knows?
To me, I always imagined he turned into like a big bird fucker kind of thing. Because it says that like he suddenly transforms into a giant canary, and then like a minute later he molts and he joins in on laughter. And it's like, I don't know. I feel like that's Neville trying to laugh away the anxiety,
Yeah, he joins in on the laughter. To me, it's the fact that this happens in the middle of a party in the Gryffindor common room, so it's very public. Neville already gets bullied.
He gets
I
bullied
would
all the
assume
fucking
by
time.
Gryffindors, yeah,
Yeah.
and it's by Gryffindors as well as by people from other houses, Slytherins.
Yeah.
Like, don't pick on the weak bullied child for no reason.
Yeah.
It's just mean. And it's specifically like they set him up as well. Because Neville, I think, actually asks the twins, like, did you do anything to any of this food? And they're like, no, it's all fine. And then they're like, oh, sorry, we forgot to mention. Yeah, we enchanted the custard creams. Like,
Yeah.
stop it. Like, if somebody calls you on your prank before you can pull it off, prank aborted. Like, you didn't get them. They got you because they knew what you were going to do.
Yeah.
Doing it anyway is like you've just now crossed into mean territory.
What would have been a better alternative is they hand out these custard creams. Everyone's like, oh, what's in this? What are you guys doing? Like, oh, trust us, there's nothing in your custard cream. And then there is nothing in their custard creams, and their custard creams turn the twins into canaries. And they're like, aha, look, this is our grand brand new trick. Look how cool these things are. You can buy them. Everyone's like, oh wait, are we gonna find the canaries? I'm like, no. We gave you guys normal ones. But this is the trick of the box. You can give people a box and you can turn your friends into canaries. It's like
I think that's funny.
that's funny.
I
Yeah.
think if they demonstrated it themselves and then they were like, try it, it doesn't hurt or anything, it's fine, and then people can have a fun game of let's turn into canaries and it's
Yeah.
all okay. That or giving canaries to everyone and then everyone gets turned into birds, that's also fine with me. Like, we're all just joining in on the fun.
Yeah, I don't want it to be like custard cream Russian roulette. Like, someone in the room unwillingly, unknowingly. Like, it's not it.
Like, just stop messing with your friends. Stop hurting people. Yeah, so this, like, what did we give pranking Percy at work to? I feel like this has got to be a
Oh,
three.
this is a three,
Because
yeah.
it's not violent, there's no trauma, but like you did mess with Neville's body without his permission or knowledge, and that scares me.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to bring up one that I think might be the winner, just preemptively. The Ton Tongue Toffee.
Yep, I had that one as well.
This is really, really bad. And I'm glad that in the books it does get addressed on how bad it is.
Yeah. It's kind of horrible to see it happen in the books. Like, it's
It's
scary.
really bad. Like, I never thought it was at least a bit funny. So for
Yeah.
anyone who doesn't remember, of course, the Weasleys visit the Dursleys' house, and the Fred and George slip Dudley a Ton Tongue Toffee, which turns his tongue into like this giant huge thing that like sprouts out of his face and he can't breathe and he's like struggling to get up and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's really awful.
Petunia grabs his tongue and starts yanking it out of its mouth, out of his mouth, and he's still choking on it the entire time. And it gets to something like 4 feet long, which is several meters, like, or just over a meter.
Yeah, there's lots of
fucked up.
There's lots of layers to this. There's obviously the muggle-baiting layer that like Arthur Weasley pointed out, where it's like even though you think this is a funny joke and that you think Dudley Dursley might have deserved it, like it still comes from this awful power trip place where it's like you're wizards who have this ability and you're using it to disadvantage muggles and to make fun of muggles. Two, there's a fatphobic element because they were like, oh, you know, he's going for these sweets, like he was eyeing them the whole time, like let's make his tongue enormous. It's very gross. And three, it's someone that they don't know. They know that Dudley might have been a prat to Harry, but like that's not their business. They can't like fucking do this sort of shit. It's fucked.
Yeah. Dudley is awful and he is a bully and he does deserve comeuppance.
Yeah,
But
not from
like,
them.
yeah, it's the fact that it's magical. Like what kept coming to me as an analogy when I was doing this, it's like if I've got a friend who's broken their leg and is on crutches and I challenge them to a foot race.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I was faster than you. Like, well, that's because I have a clear advantage.
Yeah.
Like, there's no debate about whether or not I deserved to win that race. I was deliberately taking advantage of someone that couldn't run as fast as I could. Like, it's fucked up. And yeah, the fat foaming element is really bad because this specifically happens in fourth year when Dudley is on this very, very strict diet. And the twins know about this because Harry wrote to the Weasleys being like, they're starving me, send me food. I do not need to be on this diet, help.
Yeah.
So the twins know that like Dudley is quite literally being starved at home,
Yeah.
and they like drop these toffees in front of him, like oh so tantalizingly, knowing that he's gonna eat one of them. Like it's just so cruel.
Yeah.
And there's the element that like, oh, Dudley deserved it. If he hadn't, you know, been so desperate for food that he ate this candy that wasn't his off the floor. You know, like how all fat people are unstoppable monsters when it comes to food? Like,
Yeah.
yeah, it's fucked up.
It's really not good. It's definitely like it's probably a six for me in terms of like how bad it is. Like,
I don't think we should start going off the scale because that's going to ruin everything. But yeah, it's definitely a five.
it's a
Like, it's
clear
one
five.
of it's one of the worst things that happens, like to a muggle in the books, I think. Aside from all the death.
Yeah, not good.
Not good at all. So I had the Swamp Corridor, again, done by Fred and George Weasley in fifth year.
Oh. You don't like this?
I don't like this.
Okay, interesting.
The reason why, there's a little bit of the element of the muggle baiting because Filch has to deal with a lot of this. So yeah, magically pranking a squib sucks to me for the same reason as magically pranking a muggle. But like the big thing is that it's just the collateral damage of it. This swamp corridor is designed to like distract and annoy Umbridge and Filch, but it negatively impacts other people way more than it does Umbridge. Filch, because he has to ferry people across, but like the other students and the teachers all have to deal with this terrible swamp corridor for the rest of the year, whereas Umbridge doesn't. It's not her
Yeah,
problem.
I thought it was very much implied that the teachers, like Flitwick and stuff, could with a flick of their wand get rid of the swamp. And they're keeping it up there as like a fuck you to Umbridge, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I don't see the teachers as victims of this. Mostly it's the students. It's the fact that they now have to cross this corridor, and do they have to wear bubble head charms, or is that for a different thing that happens?
I don't remember. I don't
I think that's because of dung bombs later. Never mind.
know.
It just sucks. Like, imagine if you had to walk through a corridor every day to get to and from class, and it was a swamp now, and that's something you have to deal with for
I
months.
don't have to imagine. Do you remember in our high school how there was a section of the school where to get to it, you had to walk through this narrow bridge, which is like a one-person bridge over a stinky ass swamp to get
Yeah,
to
and every time
it.
it rained, you're right, we did have a swamp corridor. Every time it rained, it would flood, and it's just like, well, those classes are cancelled today.
Yeah, it
Can't
was
get to that
gross.
building.
You'd like look out into the swamp and you'd see things moving in the water.
Yeah,
It
it was
wasn't
like black water full of eels.
It stank. It was rank.
It was terrible. Yeah, this sucks.
And that was like just getting to English class. For me, I had roll call there as well, so I had to go
Yeah.
every day.
I also had roll call there. We have the same last name.
That.
Yeah, I had in my senior years, like almost all of my classes over there because I took a very humanities-based course, in case anyone was in doubt about whether I'm good at math and science. No, only books for this bitch.
Yeah, I had my 3 Englishes and my roll call over there. But this is when I had roll call, like, oh no, I had like a 0 period of English. And then at some point, I changed my roll call to the library to do tutoring. So I had to go across the swamp to do tutoring and then race back for period one, English again, across the
Yeah.
swamp. That was not good.
Yeah, I was over there for again 3 Englishes. I think ancient history, society and culture, studies of religion. All of my fucking classes were over there. It's such a hassle. Anyway, Swamp Corridor sucks and is annoying. But it is pretty
Look,
funny. I'll give it that.
I'm gonna say in terms of like ranking, I'm gonna give this a 1. I don't think it's that bad. I think it's pretty funny.
Yeah. It's all of its badness is in the collateral damage, and it is very funny. So that kind of weighs it out.
Okay, and on to my last one. Ron playing with the toy bear that Fred or George wants to play with, and then as punishment, Fred or George decide to change the bear into a spider, and it's Ron's hugging the bear, and it turns into an awful spider. Now, was this established if it was wild magic on Fred and George's part, or?
I believe it's wild magic. Just
Okay.
purely based on age, they couldn't have been 11 while Ron was still
No.
like cuddling with a teddy bear. They must have been young enough they did it accidentally.
Okay, so then is it really a prank? Because it has to have intent, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I don't think this counts as a prank. It does count as the twins traumatizing their younger siblings.
Okay, well,
But I don't think it's a prank. You're right.
I originally had the cheering up Ginny
Yeah.
things, and then I crossed that out because I'm like, actually, no, the spider bear for me is worse. But I'll cross out spider bear and I'll go back to cheering up Ginny. That's terrible what they do.
Yeah.
So for those who don't remember, in the second book, Ginny's going through a rough patch, a really rough time. No one else knows what she's going through, but they know that Ginny's not really warming up to Hogwarts that well.
Yeah.
So Fred and George come up with a plan to cheer her up, which involves either one of them jumping out at her at random intervals, covered in fur or boils, and screaming at the top of their lungs. And this just makes things worse, of course, because that is not. Why would that
Yeah.
cheer someone up?
So the reason why this is happening is because the message, the chamber has been opened, enemies of the air beware, has appeared on the walls, and people have started getting attacked. So the people at the school know that that Slytherin's monster is roaming the castle and attacking people. And Ginny is very, very scared and upset. We, the reader, later learn that this is because she's losing time and being manipulated by Voldemort's soul or whatever. But the twins just know that, like, there is literally a monster loose in the castle attacking people. Their 11-year-old sister is terrified, and they decide to disguise themselves as monsters and jump out at her. That's fucked. That's not how you comfort your sister.
It's not okay.
It's just really bad. Like, it's mean. She doesn't deserve it. There's no element of comeuppance or it all being in good fun. They're just genuinely messing with her.
Like, I'm all for torturing your siblings. We've all done it.
Yeah,
But, like,
look,
this
it's
isn't.
fun and good.
This is not okay. This is a
It's
bit much.
not. It's really bad.
It's taken, like, 16 steps over the line, like, you
Yeah. And
know.
it gets so much worse on like a second read when you know what's happening to Ginny. It's so bad. Like, they don't know that at the time, but you don't have to. Don't mess with your sister. She's 11.
Yeah, it's not good.
They would have been like 13 or 14, I think, at the time.
Yeah.
You should know better.
I'm gonna give this a solid 4.5.
Yeah, I was gonna say 4. I think 4.5 is fair. It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all of my list of really bad
Same.
pranks. Did we get through all of
Yes.
yours? Okay. So, what do we think is the worst?
Fun tongue toffee, 100%.
Yeah. The only thing that got as high of a score as Tongue-Tong Toffee is the Vanishing Cabinet, but I think the muggle baiting and fat shaming push it way over.
Yeah, it does. It's the power
Yeah.
imbalance. Like, Montagu was also a wizard. He might have been able to, like, it's terrible what happened to him, but he, like, at least had the knowledge of, like, oh, this is what the Weasley twins are, this is what they do, we're both wizards, we know each other. This was a whole nother different kettle of fish with the Dudley incident. Dudley had no idea who these boys were. Like,
he didn't know that this was coming, and he had no way to defend himself. Mm-hmm. Aside from not eating the toffee, which, as we said, he was set up to do. They knew he would do it. There's no way that he could have defended himself or avoided this prank. Montagu could have avoided this or defended himself using his magical abilities.
Yeah.
So, now we've gone through, like, the downer pranks, let's go into good pranks that we think are funny.
Alright. Here's one that I really like. This is a bit obscure. More than one innocent life can be saved. So, this is in the third book. It's kind of hard to explain. So basically when the time travel stuff happens, Harry and Hermione go back and they save Buckbeak, they save Sirius, and then they end up coming right back into their hospital beds and pretending like nothing happened. Meanwhile, Snape has been telling the minister and, like, all these important people, like, how he saved the children and how Sirius Black is a criminal that's going to be kissed for his crimes by the Dementors, and, like, telling this fanciful story about how Harry and Hermione are deluded, crazy children, and he's the hero in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets told that Sirius Black has escaped, that Buckbeak has gone loose, and, like, all this story is basically crap.
Yeah.
And Snape absolutely loses his mind. Like, he goes completely insane. He looks mad as hell. He is yelling and screaming. He's like, it was Potter with his cloak, and they're like, how is that possible, sir? Like, you know, Harry and Hermione have been in their beds all this whole time, and Ron has a broken leg, and he's like, no, I know it was him. This is what I'm talking about, this energy.
So when you say more than one life can be saved, are you saying that Dumbledore set this up, because he's the one who says that? Is Dumbledore joking?
No, I just use that as a descriptor for, like, the situation.
Okay, right. I love this, but I feel like a prank needs, like, a pranker and a prankee. Who's the person who's doing this, and who's the victim? Snape's the victim, obviously, but who's doing this?
Yeah, I think in this situation, the pranker would be Harry and Hermione, and the prankee, unintentional, would be Snape. Because it's not like they were doing this to get at Snape. They were doing this to save Sirius and Buckbeak and all this sort of stuff. But an extra little spicy bonus is it gets to make Snape look really bad and crazy.
I love this. I love the energy of it. I think if it's Harry and Hermione, this doesn't count as a prank, because this is an unintended consequence of their actions.
Yeah.
I think if you're trying to pitch to me, Dumbledore's doing this to take Snape down a peg, then I'm all over it. Absolutely.
I mean, we could frame it as such. I mean, Dumbledore kind of knows that this might be what happens, and he knows what Snape's been saying.
Mm-hmm. Dumbledore knows all about the backstory and the rivalry between the Marauders and Snape. He knows all of that. He knows Lupin's story. He knows Black's story. He engineers things in such a way that Sirius will get away. Like, he is the person who's masterminding and puppet mastering this. What do you call a puppet master? Puppeteer.
Puppeteering.
He's puppeteering this. And I think he definitely knows, like, how bad Snape is going to look at the end of it. And how he's going to react. I think this is at least partially, like, his design.
All right. So, yeah, that's one of my faves.
That's great. That's got to be, like, a 4 for me.
Yeah, I'm going to put that as a 4.
So good. Get fucked, Snape. I've never considered that situation as, like, Dumbledore fucking over Snape, but, oh, I love that scene even more now. It's so good. He literally did.
Dumbledore's like, heard you were talking shit.
Oh, and there's, like, in the books, the scene where Harry and Hermione have to hide in a closet as Snape and Fudge go past, and Fudge is like, you could get an Order of Merlin for this. And
yes.
Snape is so pleased with himself.
He is pleased as fucking punch, yeah.
Amazing. You came in strong, swinging hard. Okay. I've got on my list floating cakes, Hermione drugging the cakes with sleeping potion and getting Crab and Goyle. Amazing.
Oh, I don't like this.
It's got a little bit of that element of fat shaming to it again, which I said I hated with Dudley, but I feel like Crab and Goyle have it coming more.
I don't know. This, to me, it reads as fat shaming mixed with roofying, and I'm not into it. I can't support it. Like, I know that, like, they're doing it for a greater cause. They want to find out who the heiress London is. But, like, to me, the methods are too much, like, bait raping. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
I don't like it in the book when they just leave the cakes out for them to find. But for me, it's the scene in the movie where they wave their wand and they levitate the cakes up, and then the guys walk out and they see the cakes and they're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
It's funny.
Look, yeah, no, I can respect. I'm going to say, though, with all the added layers and context to it, I'm going to give it a 2.
I was going to say 1. It's the lowest on my list of good pranks for a reason.
Okay, floating cakes, 1. Okay, here's another one. Snowballs on Quirrell.
Yeah.
Look, it's not funny when it's, like, bullying a teacher that's already kind of nervous and stuttering.
Mm-hmm.
But it is funny when you know that the Dark Lord is in the back of his head.
Yes. Hitting Quirrell in the back of the head, not funny. Hitting Voldemort in the face, excellent.
Very good.
Hilarious. Very, very good.
Yeah, the duality. It's too hard to really pinpoint, because obviously the twins had no idea. They were just doing this because they thought it would be funny, and that's a big thing of them to do. So
Just bullying a teacher.
Yeah, I have to punish that. But then also, hitting Voldemort in the face, as you said, hilarious. So I'm going to give this maybe like a 2 or 2.5. What are you thinking?
I was going to say 2.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. The bullying drags it down, but the attacking Voldemort in a really harmless way when he's completely helpless to do anything about it, amazing.
You can't even scream.
More people should hassle Voldemort.
That's like that time that Hagrid like threw Voldemort to the ground. Remember that?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Excellent. We should do like best things that anyone's ever done to Voldemort. Like that child telling him his face looks like a mask. Amazing. The true hero of the story.
I think he should be bullied. That's my opinion.
Yes. I want you to take that opinion, Voldemort should be bullied, and hold on to it, because it's going to become relevant next episode. That's a little spoiler, listener.
All right. Interesting.
Okay, I've got, this might be a little bit low in my list, but I think the other things are better than this. The fireworks. Twins setting off all of the fireworks to hassle Umbridge.
Oh, are you including that? Because I included that on my list as, like, Fred and George's exit. Like, all the things they did there with the fireworks and the Catherine wheels and like, all the stuff they're exiting from the school.
No, because the fireworks happen before they exit. They exit after the swamp. They get caught doing the swamp, and that's when they leave.
Okay.
You're forgetting and remembering the movie.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so fireworks. Yeah, I think they're great. I think they're funny.
Yeah. There's a lot more collateral damage than I would usually like in a prank, but I feel like it just doesn't impact anyone negatively except for Umbridge. Like, she's the one who has to deal with them, and she can't. They just get worse every time she tries. All of the other students are just like, no classes today.
Yeah.
Also, sparklers writing out the word poo in the sky, amazing.
Very funny. Nothing funny.
Very good.
So what are we giving that, like a 3 or 4?
I feel like a 4, just the sheer chaotic energy of it.
Yeah.
Also the fact that it was helping Harry break into Umbridge's office, that elevates it for me.
And the fact that it's like a prank, pranking the man, like, you know, pranking the institution.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the energy. Comeuppance.
Comeuppance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Comeuppance is good.
Yeah.
A lot of my like good pranks are stuff that happened to Umbridge in that year. It was the year of pranks. It was a good one.
All right, here's another good one. Okay, this one's tricky. Runel Wuzzlib. So
yes. Oh my god, of course.
Harry getting caught going to Hogsmeade because Draco saw his head fall out from underneath the invisibility cloak. Harry rushing back from Hogsmeade all the way to Hogwarts, and first thing that he encounters is Snape there. And Snape is like, where the fuck have you been? Draco Malfoy just said he saw your head in Hogsmeade. How can your head be in Hogsmeade when you're meant to be having detention here in Hogwarts? And all this sort of stuff. And Harry's like, oh, I don't know. And Snape is like, turn out your pockets and all this sort of stuff. And he's like, what is it that made him think?
I think you're misremembering.
No, wait, yeah.
So this doesn't happen in third year. This happens in sixth year. Harry casts the Sectum Sempra spell on Malfoy, who ends up injured and blah, blah, blah. And then Snape's like, how do you know that spell? Because he knows he invented it. Let me see your potions book. Mm-hmm. And Harry goes tearing off, hides his potions book Room of Requirement, and then he gets Ron's potions book. And Ron signed his name in his book with a prank quill from Fred and George. So it changes Ron Weasley to Runil Waslib.
Yeah.
And then Harry's like, this is my book. And Snape's like, why does it say Runil Waslib? And he's like, that's my nickname.
And Snape's like, your nickname? And he's like, yeah, it's a name that your friends call you. And Snape's like, I know what a nickname is, Potter.
The best response to that instantly would have been Harry being like, okay, well, a friend is someone who cares about you.
Yeah, sorry, I was getting mixed up.
I think Runil Waslib, very funny. The exterior context of Harry has used dark magic to seriously hurt Malfoy, and Malfoy could have died, kind of puts a dampener on the whole situation for me.
Also, the external knowledge that, like, Snape is, like, this half-blood prince who's written a bunch of curses into a potions book, and until now, thinking that that could have adverse consequences for leaving it around.
He just left it in his classroom, the dickhead.
Dumbass.
Like, specifically in the pile of textbooks that students can use.
Yeah.
But, like, so good to be like, my nickname's Runil Waslib, and then try and pass that off as if that's at all a thing that he could get away with. That's peak Harry Potter energy.
Yeah. Runil Waslib is so iconic. The exterior around it, you're right, though, is very dark. So I think a solid 2.5, 3.
I was going to say 2, yeah.
Yeah, okay, 2.
Just the bald face, that's my nickname. Amazing. Harry, your energy, your vibe, incredible. I had Umbridge-itis. When everyone starts taking these skiving snack boxes, skiving snack boxes, I don't know how to say these British words.
Yeah, yeah.
To fake sick to get out of class. And when she's like, what's wrong with you? Why are you sick? They're like, we have Umbridge-itis. Incredible. The fact that so many students do it, it's a united front. They all skip out their classes together. And then it happens so much and so often that Umbridge just has to let them go. She can't stop them. She can't punish them. Too many. United we are one. I love it.
Incredible. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Big comeuppance, big funny.
Mm-hmm.
Creativity.
Working together. Very good. Legacy, Fred and George, amazing. They've left the school at this point.
Yeah, look, I'm going to give that maybe a 4.5.
Really?
I love it.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I'm happy to get that high on the list. 4.5.
All right. Mm-hmm. Bit awkward again. Dumbledore's secret weapon. So in order to stop Harry from getting tortured, Hermione's like, wait, just tell her, Harry, about Dumbledore's secret weapon. And this results in Hermione leading Umbridge and Harry out of the castle, onto the grounds, and into the Forbidden Forest, and Harry's like, Hermione, what the fuck are you doing? And she's like, I don't know, I'm just improvising, hey, I don't know. And then it ends up in Grawp and Centaurs and Umbridge getting kidnapped and all this sort of stuff. But just the energy of, like, Hermione completely going off the rails and being like, ah, I guess that's just a lie. Trigger.
What I really love about this is 100% you are playing to your audience. This is what Umbridge is all about. She's convinced that Dumbledore's out to get the ministry. Dumbledore's got some sort of secret army or secret weapon he's using the students. Yeah. Like, none of that's true.
Yeah.
Hermione knows it.
Hermione's acting like Borat, interacting with, like, QAnon guys for, like, 3 days, living at their house in full undercover mode. Like, that's what she's doing.
Amazing. I don't know that reference, but I'm sure it's good.
It's in Borat subsequent movie film.
You've seen multiple Borat films. Wow. Just learned something about my sister.
Yeah, look.
Okay.
Borat's a problematic, weird topic, but it's also very funny.
Borat, 3 out of 5, anyway. I feel like this is a 2.
Yeah.
Tricking Umbridge is good, but then there's also the fact that, like, she leads them to the centaurs, and then the centaurs would have killed Harry and Hermione, and, like, she's kind of using them. That makes me a bit uncomfortable.
Rolf might have got hurt as well.
But also, she did save her friend from being tortured. Like, that was pretty good. Yeah, okay. Two, we happy with that?
Yeah, I'm happy with two.
Okay, cool. Sunshine Daisy's butter mellow turned this stupid fat rat yellow. Ron, you absolute dipshit. That's not a spell.
This is so good, I can't believe I forgot this. That's a prank, because Fred and George were like, yeah, no, this is a real spell. You can use it for any rat yellow. That is the biggest sibling energy I can imagine.
That's like, it's so good.
That's like you telling me, oh, if you stare at the sun, you get special powers. Like,
yeah. If yeah, listeners, if you look directly into the sun without blinking, you get superpowers. Oh, that's so good. I forgot I did that to you. 5 out of 5. Amazing.
Look, yeah, just a 5.
Yeah. Oh, just the sibling energy. The light. Like, Ron, you know what spells sound like. They're in Latin. They're not like this weird rhyme. Also, why does it say stupid fat rat? No spell does that. Amazing.
Yeah, it's good. It is like, this is something that our cousins tricked both of us with. The wish chip thing. Where it's like, when you're eating a packet of chips and you pull out a wish chip, in quotations, which is like a chip that's like got several chips stuck to it, like folded together like a mega chip.
Yeah.
What you do to make your wish come true is you crack the wish chip on your forehead.
Yeah.
And then eat it.
Yeah, you put the wish chip, the big monster chip, in the palm of your hand, you smash it into your forehead, and then you, like lick the crumbs out of the palm of your hand. Yeah, look, they got us.
I did that for years. Because I thought, I knew it wouldn't break my wish, but I thought it was like a cultural phenomenon. It was like a thing that everyone did.
Yeah. Like making a wish on a star. I didn't think it would really come true, but it's a thing that
It's a funny, fun thing that everyone does. It's a social contract. But no, it was just our cousins messing with us and giving us oily foreheads.
Yeah. They had so many people in on it as well, because that was when they were still friends with all the neighbors' kids. So there were like 8 older children all telling us this is a thing that you do.
Look, they got us.
Amazing. I'll cop to it. They got us.
I had the swamp on here. We've already discussed that. I thought the swamp was pretty funny, but we gave that a 1.
Okay. I'm happy to hear your pitch for it if you've got a like another side of it you want to explore.
No, I actually forgot that it was like a prank on Filch too. Yeah. I guess I liked the fact that like it could have easily been cleaned by Flitwick or McGonagall or any of the teachers, but they just left it there as like a fuck you to Umbridge. But I've already said that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to talk about Peeves giving Umbridge hell. So when Umbridge was leaving the castle, like, I think he threw her with, he beat her with McGonagall's cane. And
that was when she was trying to leave.
Had like a stocking full of chalk or something that he was using to like bash her on her head so that she was covered in chalk dust.
Yeah, good. Yeah,
she was trying to leave quietly from the school, but Peeves caused a big ruckus and made it very noticeable that she was trying to leave quietly. It was good.
Yeah. I love that because those are both things that teachers used to do to students at school.
That's true.
Like,
yeah,
you'd like cane them over the knuckles and I don't know, hitting them with chalk just seems like a thing that happened. I don't know it for sure, but definitely the caning.
Forcing them to inhale chalk dust by cleaning all the chalk dusters.
Yeah, that's definitely a thing. Yeah. So I like that he's sort of like using the tools of a teacher to like beat this terrible teacher out of the school.
Yeah.
That's got vibes.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm going to give that a 3.
There's another element to it that's very good, which is that McGonagall gave her walking stick to Peeves so that he could do this.
Yeah.
That elevates it to a 4 for me.
You're right.
Just McGonagall being like, oh, he took my walking stick, I can't go after him. Oh no.
Oh no, stop. Help him.
Oh, yeah, very good. Dumbledore's aging line. Everyone who tries to age themselves up with magic grows a beard. Fuck you, children.
Fuck them kids.
Very good. I really like someone as magically powerful as Dumbledore just messing with children. Very good.
It's like millennials messing with Gen Z.
Yeah.
God. Yeah, and it's so reversible. No one gets hurt. Like, it's yeah. just, it's funny.
It very yeah. much is just teaching you a lesson. Like,
mm-hmm. yeah.
yeah. Growing a beard is not like growing an extra arm or something. It's not as traumatic. It's fine.
yeah.
I want to give that like a 3, maybe?
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
I had down Fred and George's exit from Hogwarts, the classic, like, flying around on brooms and yelling mm-hmm. at Umbridge and give her hell from Miss Peeves.
That's when you get the give her hell from Miss Peeves. I had that as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good one. It's a classic yeah. Hogwarts moment.
I really like the moment of Fred and George exerting some influence over Peeves, something that we know to be nearly impossible.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they actually, like, give him a command and then he follows through with it is very impressive. It speaks yeah. to their, like, their nature and their stature as pranksters.
They did
But
that.
Also the fact that it then inspires the entire castle and all of the students and teachers to then torment Umbridge for months. Amazing. Iconic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's good. Wasn't yeah. it during the exams? No, that was in the movie, right?
Yeah, that's in the movie.
Mm. It is funnier when it is during the exams, though. That's pretty good.
yeah. Oh, well, I don't like that, because then you're wrecking everybody's exams.
Oh, like, I mean, the school doesn't give a fuck about that. All exams are cancelled.
yeah. yeah. Honestly, that's a pretty good prank. Just being like, there's no exams this year.
Get fucked. Alright. I'm going to give Fred and George's exit a solid 4. 4.5.
Yeah, I was going to say 5, just because it's kind of like the most iconic Fred and George Peeves kind of moment in the entire series, I think.
Yeah, so maybe 4.5 to even it out. I think it's
yeah,
like
4.5.
Good, but I think there's better ones.
Yeah. I've only got one more on my list. What are you down to?
I've got 3 more.
Oh, okay. You've gone ahead of me. Should I just say mine now, or do you want to try and split it up a little bit more?
You just say yours now, I guess.
Okay. So this is my number one, I think, best prank in the entire series. The Midnight Duel. Malfoy challenging Harry and Ron to a fight and then being like, just not showing up. So they get yeah. caught. Amazing.
That is pretty funny, but it's also a shit thing to do.
But for me, it's peak, like, Slytherin versus Gryffindor energy.
Yeah,
like,
that is true.
Tricking a Gryffindor into being like, we're going to fight, and then they get there and they just get in trouble because they're out of bounds after hours.
yeah, look, you're right. It is peak Slytherin energy. It is, like, kind of Harry's first, like, lesson from the not the big bad. What's the word when it's not the big bad?
His foil.
Rival? His foil? Mm-hmm. Rival?
Yeah. Both
yeah, mini boss. Play. Mini boss is what I was looking for. Nemesis. Mini boss. It's like the first lesson from Harry from his mini boss. It's like, you dumbass. Like, you know.
yeah.
Gotcha. yeah.
It's absolutely like playing against Harry and Ron's weaknesses. Like, because mm-hmm. of course they think that Malfoy's going to really fight them. I just love it. I think it's great.
yeah. I mean, what would we rank that? I reckon a 4?
I reckon a 4 as well.
All right, and my last 3. First off, I'm not sure if this counts, but I'll include it.
Mm-hmm.
Tattoos. So Ginny pranking Romilda Vane into thinking that Harry has a Hungarian horntail tattoo on his chest and that mm-hmm. Ron has a pygmy calf tattoo, but she wouldn't say where.
Yeah.
Does this count as a prank?
I don't know. I think pranks have to have some sort of practical element to them. Mm, I said this before. Yeah. I think just yeah. saying something to someone is not a prank. It's just a joke.
No, this is more of a tease, yeah. So I'm going to yeah. remove it. 2 more. So this one is the toilet seat. So in the first yeah. year, Molly Weasley scolds Fred and George for being so prankstery, and she's like, I swear to God, if I get a letter from the school saying that you guys have stolen a toilet seat or something, and they're like, oh, good idea, Mum, that sounds fun. And they say to Ginny, oh, we'll send you back a toilet seat, like, don't be sad that we're leaving Hogwarts. And then at the end of the year, Harry's in the hospital wing, and it turns out that Fred and George have tried to gift him a toilet seat at some point while he was unconscious, and they were asked to leave by Madame Pomfrey because it was unsanitary. That's very good.
That is very good. The only thing that I guess I don't like about this moment is that the Hogwarts toilet seat seems like more of an in-joke in the Weasley family, and I don't quite know why they thought Harry would get that. Like, we the reader get that, because we the reader know that Harry was overhearing and eavesdropping on the Weasleys' conversation, but Fred and George don't really know that.
That is true.
It's always something that's stuck with me. It's like, why did Fred and George think that Harry would get this joke?
Maybe they already had the toilet seat unscrewed and they were planning to, because it was like the end of the year, they already had the toilet seat like ready to go, and they were planning to somehow deliver it to their mom. But while that was happening, they find out that all shit's happened and Harry's in hospital wing. They hear it all from Ron and they're like, wow, you know, Harry's did this brave thing for our family and all this sort of stuff. And it's like, let's give him something. Let's give him something nice.
Honestly, that is such a vibe. Like, the idea that, like, oh, we're gonna mail this home to Ginny because we said we would, that's funny. And then they hear that Harry's unconscious because of everything that happened with him and Ron and stuff, and they're like, oh, he deserves this.
Yeah,
like, it's got the idea of, you know, when you're hanging out with your mates and you all start egging each other on into kind of a stupid idea. Which I think is how Fred and George make most of their decisions.
It's like that Gravity Falls thing where, like, the president gives different, like, the minus $1 bill. He's like, oh, this is worthless.
Yeah. Imagine if Harry had been conscious and they'd handed him over the toilet seat and he'd been like, oh, thanks.
An avocado.
Yeah. Very good. I want to put that as maybe a 3.
Yeah, I want to put it as a 4. So maybe 3.5.
Okay, 3.5 seems fair.
All right. Okay, here we go. The all-up best prank. And you haven't mentioned it yet. I'm very surprised. This is my favourite thing. The all-England best-kept lawn competition.
Oh my god, of course! Of course that's the best prank! Of course!
So, for those who don't remember,
get book fucked, five, Dursleys!
Book 5. Harry's committed some magical bullshit outside of school and he's been threatened with expulsion. And he's been told by everyone in the order to, like, stay at home. The Dursleys knock on his bedroom door and are like, and Mr. Dursley then, he's dressed all proper and he's like, we are going out. You are to stay in your room and not to touch anything in the house. You are not to talk to anyone on the phone. All this sort of stuff. And Harry's like, yep, whatever. Giving, like, one word answers, all this sort of stuff. Mr. Dursley leaves. They get in their car and they drive off. And Harry's lying there in his room and he's being, like, he's brooding. He's quite moody. And then hours or so pass and he hears someone downstairs. It turns out to be the Order of the Phoenix coming to pick him up and take him away. And he's like, how did you know to come when the Dursleys would be out? And Tonks says, oh, that was me. I sent them a letter in the Muggle Post telling them that they were the runners-up in the All England Best Kept Lawn competition and that they had to go to, like, Westchester or something tonight to accept their prize.
Amazing.
Oh, good.
I've been thinking about it and it's got everything. It's got everything we said made a good prank. Comeuppance? Fuck yeah. The amount of planning, because we know that there's a massive drought going on and Tonks has been watching Harry lying in the garden bed. So she's thought this out ahead of time. Sending it through the Muggle Post. Perfect.
The creativity.
The creativity. The fact that this is a prank you're playing on Muggles, but you're not using magic to trick them. You're tricking them in a Muggle way. So it's not Muggle baiting.
No.
That's good. There's no power in violence.
No. And she's not tricking them because they're Muggles. She's targeting an element of their personality that is very, like, specific to them. Like,
yes.
No other person would be like, oh, wow, I'm the runner-up in the All England Best Kept Lawn competition. I better get in my car right now with my loved ones and travel to Westchester, which is, I don't know how fucking far away, but hours away, like, to get my runner-up prize.
Like, it's got such the vibe of, like, spam emails. Like, oh my god, I've come first in this competition. Oh, I've won a cruise. Yeah. They're so dumb. Come on, Dursleys. This Nigerian prince wants to give us his money. It's got a practical element as well. It's got a practical element, but no collateral. They have to drive hours away, but nobody gets hurt. No.
They'll be fine. They'll show up at like an empty hall somewhere in some little town and they'll be told there is no Best England lawn competition. And they'll drive home grumpily thinking that they've been pranked by Harry, but Harry will want to be gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they get embarrassed, but they don't get violently hurt. And also, like, it's for a good cause as well, because Harry is now free of the Dursleys and gets to go to the Order of the Phoenix headquarters. Mm-hmm. This is the best prank in the series. You're right. I can't believe I didn't think of this.
Literally, when I was doing research for this episode, I'm like, oh, list of pranks Harry Potter, and I went to the Harry Potter wiki. And the Harry Potter wiki was very sparse. There was nothing on there except for this. Mm-hmm. It had A, All England Best Kept Lawn Competition, and then it had, like, prank objects or something else. And I'm like, okay. Wow, I can't believe that, like, this is the only thing on there. And then I'm like, you know, you're right. It should be the only thing on there. It's the best prank of the series.
It's the best prank by a mile. Fuck, it's good. This is a 10 out of 5.
Thought we weren't going to bump the scale.
I know, but it's worth it.
Well, we already know our best, and we've decided on our worst, the Ton Tongue Toffee. So we have achieved our mission.
We've done it. Oh, amazing. Best lawn competition. Fuck, I can't even remember what it's called, but it's so good. Get fucked, Dursleys. You deserve it. I'm glad that, like, the best and worst pranks both happened to the Dursleys.
Yeah.
That feels right.
Yeah, it's good.
It's good. All right. I've been Rhea. And do you know that if you crush a chip against your cheek and look into the sun, you get to go to Hogwarts?
And I've been Gem, and I have umbridge-itis.
Happy April Fool's Day, everybody.
Thanks for listening. If you want to support us or get in touch, the links to our social media and Patreon are in the show notes. Please feel free to send us so many messages that we go mad and run away to a hut on a rock in the middle of the sea just to avoid them. You'll hear from us again in 2 weeks' time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.